these rights and you know, and believing in the concept of freedom and our Constitution. And they see that it's pretty obvious that it's in danger right now, serious, imminent danger. And what we're doing, we've come to, instead of just being frustrated and trying to change the whole world, we believe in this, keeping in the spirit of the grassroots concept. You know, we want to make Santa Cruz County a Patriot Act free zone. Patriot Act free zone, safe from, you know, from the abuses, theoretically, hopefully from the abuses of the Patriot Act. But the only way to do that is to educate people, and then to continue that's our main push, is to educate people. Second push is to get this petition signed, to get the council to put their teeth back in their resolution, and which these guys have. The good news about our city councils, they have made national headlines on other issues and from time to time. And you know, there are also there are three states that have passed similar resolutions and a fourth one that's in the process of passing it.
What three states are those?
Hawaii, Alaska, Vermont, and New Mexico.
Huh.
And
not the most populous states still.
No, but still, you get one more, and you've got one-tenth of the entire United States right there. So mm-hmm. Our goal ultimately is to get this resolution. There's a county, the county Board of Supervisors, they had a resolution. We want to get them. You know, we'll be petitioning them next. But we're hoping that once the Santa Cruz City Council does put the teeth back into their resolution, then it'll make it a lot easier for the county, et cetera, to do it as well, you know, instruct the sheriffs, just like, and then move on to the state, you know, it's...
I encourage you, John, to remember that resolutions by the city council, by the board of supervisors, even by the state legislature are, you know, are good. They're one thing, but it is, of course, the behavior of their police department and of the sheriff's department and of how they, in fact, do treat federal agents who come in here that is really the key test. And so the kind of, monitoring that needs to go on, the kind of stuff you're doing on the streets, which it's actually you're gathering petitions, you're giving out information, which is good, I think needs to be expanded to deal with how are our local police, dealing with the local citizenry. I mean, are the local police, for example, compiling political files on activists?
Absolutely,
I mean, you know, these are issues that I don't know. I mean, I know that there was such a file compiled on John Malkin, according to Sergeant Steve Clark. He was a Citizens Police Review Board member, John Malkin, and he's now a broadcaster for Free Radio back in 1996. I don't think people have investigated further what the political situation is there. And I think that, you know, again, while it's good, to ask politicians to sort of, pass a legislative vote, and that's good, I think you need to really put some teeth in it. You need to have people essentially calling the police on it. And I know that your group isn't doing that yet, but who knows? Maybe tomorrow night you can have a subcommittee looking into something like that, too, if anybody's interested. I know I'm probably going to be at that meeting. That's, 6 o'clock, second floor of the library, Monday, July 7th, right?
Correct. No, the 14th.
The 14th. Oh,
yeah.
14th.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a week.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I didn't even catch it. No, it's not tomorrow.
It's not tomorrow. Okay, let's
yeah, it's the 14th. Yeah. Thank
goodness.
You.
So it's not tomorrow. It's tomorrow.
Yeah, I said it was the 14th, and you said that was tomorrow, and I just didn't even catch that.
No, I'm
yeah.
sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah,
it's the 14th. It's a week from tomorrow. Yeah.
So that'll be on Bastille Day. Everyone should show up on the barricades to restore rights in this city and in this country with the Santa Cruz Bill of Rights Committee, right?
Yeah, and I tell you that there's a reason that the mainstream media, as it's being called, is so manipulated. All right, it keeps people in the dark. There's a reason people are in the dark, because the media has been manipulated. And we're not only not getting correct information from NBC, ABC, et cetera, et cetera. We're getting misinformation. They act like cheerleaders for this administration during this whole war. The reason that happens, the reason they do that, is because it works. When people when the population is kept uninformed about what these guys are up to and what their motivation is, why they're doing whatever they're doing, they're allowed to do it. And so it's really, really important that people begin to educate themselves, that people come to our meetings, that people get on the website, bordc.org, and begin to educate themselves as to you know, this and many other issues. But if every citizen in Santa Cruz County knew exactly what the Patriot Act was, knew how dangerous it was, it would be so much harder for the FBI, the police, whatever, you know, to come in and do, disabuse people of their civil liberties, because there will be, people will become active in a real way. I mean, the key is education here. And
John, do you actually have a flyer that you're giving out which gives a summary of the concerns about the Patriot Act and Patriot 2?
Yeah, we will have them at the meeting as well. We have a few different flyers with different information. We have an ACLU flyer that we've gotten a hold of that talks about different abuses. Got a whole analysis of Homeland Security and Patriot Act and exactly what amendments to the Constitution it violates or could potentially violate. And we've got some other information.
Are you going to be tabling in the next week?
Yeah, we're planning to. We're hoping to go down this Wednesday.
Time?
Don't know yet.
How can people volunteer to help if they want?
How can they? Well, they can call me if they want.
Okay. You got a number you want to give out?
Yeah, it's the area code 831, of course. 359-6254.
So that's 359-6254.
Right. Yeah.
And we're talking with John Gibson.
Yeah.
Well, John, if you want to take a minute or two to sum up, I've pretty much asked the questions I need to ask, and I want to thank you for doing the work you're doing. And I know that when I saw you months ago at the town hall meeting at the Civic Auditorium, I looked at you and I saw the determination you had, but I thought, boy, you got a long row to hoe, but it looks like you're beginning to hoe it, huh?
Yeah, we're doing. Hey, I tell you, we've gotten some very motivated, dedicated, intelligent people have surfaced and said, what can I do to help? And that's happening all the time. I mean, it was just, we sat, the first time we've been down, tabling, and it's like, 9 out of 10 people that looked at what we had, our petition, signed it, it seemed. I mean, we just got one signature after another. People are, and which is very encouraging that so many people are aware of the dangers of this thing and willing to do something about it. So, yeah, we're working on it, and we encourage everyone to to start coming to the meetings. Call me if they want more information, whatever, and hopefully we can make a difference here in Santa Cruz at the very least.
Yeah, John, thank you for being on the air. And again, your number is 359-6254.
Yeah.
The website is www.dordc. Is that right? DORDC?
Yeah. Board, yeah, B, yeah, as in Bill of Rights, Defense Committee.org, yeah.
Not D, but B, sorry.
B, yeah.
B-O-R-D-C.
Correct.
.org, board,
yeah.
Bordic.org.
Yeah.
And you also will be having a meeting on the 14th, not tomorrow, but a week from tomorrow.
That's
Monday,
right.
Second floor of the library at 6 o'clock in the evening.
That's
You're
correct.
You're going to be showing up at the city council meeting to watch them nail the final nail in the coffin of the local civil rights situation with the downtown ordinances on Tuesday. That's coming up probably in the afternoon with the elimination of, they're going to pose two exemption zones where you'll have a constitutional area in front of the bookshop Santa Cruz and near it, but otherwise there'll be no other constitutional areas on the mall, and you'll have to move along every hour and take those tiny spaces that are 10 feet from.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and when is this?
This is going to be
Tuesday.
Tuesday, day after tomorrow, July 8th, and it's in the afternoon session, probably. The session starts at 1:30, so you should try to be there. Be there about 1:30 or thereafter. It's actually, I think it's on the, it may be on the consent agenda. I've got to check that. I'm going to be actually looking at it and talking about it. Can you hear me? You can't really hear me up there in terms of being on the, you're not catching my radio show up there.
I don't know. I haven't even tried. I've just been talking to you on the phone. I didn't want to have a conflict, I didn't want the thing to conflict.
right.
what we're doing. But
you probably can't get it, but you'll probably get some Christian rock, though, that you'll love.
Okay.
Yeah, this
I'll try and tune it in. What are the numbers again?
It's 96.3 FM, and then there's a website I can give you, too, for those who are trying to catch us out of the area and for some reason hearing us now but want to catch us later. It's www.freakradio, F-R-E-A-K-R-A-D-I-O, small letters, one word, freakradio.org. We're talking with John Gibson, Bill of Rights, Santa Cruz Bill of Rights Defense Committee. Thanks, John, and
you're welcome.
Keep up the good work.
Okay, and hopefully I'll see you Tuesday.
Definitely, that'll be great.
Yeah.
Coming out 1:30, and away we'll go.
Okay, well that's interesting. So they're gonna do what I did on Friday. If this passes, which sounds like it probably will, then there'll be one little area. And that's it, where I can exercise my right to free speech. Is that correct?
Right, except that you'll be able to do it in other areas along the mall, but you have to move along after an hour. That's what they're going to tell you.
Okay.
Words, they're essentially they claim they'll be expanding your rights because they're now providing an area where you can be longer than an hour. But of course, what are you going to have? Every organization in the world is going to come to this tiny area,
one.
And every
yeah.
musician in the world, and every spiritual.
I don't know, man. I don't think a free society should be that neat and tidy, personally.
It won't even be neat and tidy. It'll be crowded and crampy and silly.
No, but I mean, specific area for this, specific area for that,
Yeah.
I mean, anyways, okay, I'll be there.
Hey, thanks, John. All right. Have a good one.
Okay, thank you, man.
All righty.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
I ain't an outlaw, I ain't no thief. My spirit's willing, but these habits, they run deep. I ain't the bad guy, I didn't shoot anyone. But you got me running like a last bar West outlaw. You got me hiding in the shadows. Been a long, long time since I seen the sun. I ride by night like an outlaw, wanted dead or alive for having too much fun. Yeah, yeah. Try to make a living, but your work day never stops. It's a trail well ridden, never takes you to the top. I don't want to change things, just the right to choose. But you got me singing those desperado blues. You got me hiding in the shadows. Long, long time since I've seen the sun. I ride by night like an outlaw, wanted dead or alive for having too much fun. Yeah, yeah, wanted dead or alive for having too much fun. Too much fun. Yeah, yeah, wanted dead or alive. Files.
And that was Mike True, Desperado, the musician who is suing Sergeant Baker and the city for false arrest for his displaying or even just having on his person his own musical artwork, his CDs, about a year ago. When the police were getting their crackdown in the spring of 2002, and then the Merchants and City Council brought up the reinforcements and gave us the new downtown ordinances, and the continued crackdown, which has gone on for the last year and a half, or last year, actually, since that time. We're in July of 2003 now, of course. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, and this is the Bathrob Spears broadside show. We go for another hour and a half. I was going to be playing some cuts from the Santa Cruz City Council meeting of January 14th, just showing people how the... how extensively the city council is going to be ignoring its own recommendations, its own promises to come back with various, even minor changes, minor examinations of the essentially privatization of the sidewalk that it voted in many respects on January 14th of this year. And I can't do that because, unfortunately, the VCR here is not set up, and this is a videotape. So, actually, this is an appeal. If one of our fine technicians, say Skidmark or someone else who may have moved the VCR to another part of the studio, could sort of find their way into the studio in the next half hour to set it back up again, I could actually play this for people to hear, but I can't do it otherwise. I'm not familiar with how to set it up, and... I'd like to learn, but hey, right now I don't know how. So help, help! This is a call to all potential technicians within range. Come on in and help me set up this VCR so we can actually play it for the community out there. And until that happens, I'll be working on various other matters. We've got lots of other stuff to discuss, but since this matter is coming up at City Council on Tuesday, it is a timely situation and a timely time to do that. So, come on in if you hear my voice. And while I'm kind of setting things up for an alternate situation, which we have plenty of material, as I said, let's hear this. This is another one of my favorite tunes. Hope you enjoy it as well.
I've always hated Blockbuster,
Target,
McDonald's,
The Gap,
Pepsi,
Nike,
IBM,
Starbucks,
not quite so much. If I'm not boycotting at least three oil companies, I start to feel out of touch. I wouldn't be seen in Nordstrom's or any such. And I hate Walmart. I don't like whips. I don't like chains. I don't go chopping up my neighbor's brains. Don't really like shopping except at the flea market. I hate Walmart. Now you may wonder, what's all this fuss? If you don't like the train, take the bus. Well, I found religion and just between us. Company sell the low-cost drive, mom and pop out of business. Pretty shit all over the land, one big square store, identical brand, and that's why I hate Walmart. Used to be you drive around, stop in on three or four towns, and count on different sights and sounds, different if not unique. Different accents, different smells, different things to buy and sell. Now it's all Taco Bell, I hate Walmart. Juice to bad wine, you drive slow, relax your mind. Never knew what you'd find around the next bend. But now the freeway goes so straight, it goes right past the totally gate. I don't feel human, I feel like freight. I hate Walmart. I like to roam, I like to greet individuals on the street. You always know the one you meet is one of a kind. But more and more, they seem to me reflection of something on TV. When for all alike, nobody's free. I hate Walmart. I boycott Burger King. I boycott Newt Gingrich. I boycott everything which I've seen advertised. I used to go out to dinner in a diner. Now they say fast food is finer, but it tastes like it fell out of an airline. It's enough to make you weep. I don't like board games. I don't like brand names. They make inflated claims. They're full of bleep. Everyone I meet is a high-tech killer. Wants to sell me a digital potato peeler. And I don't like Garrison Keillor, cause he's so whack. Turn on my radio dial. Like to hear something new once in a while. But it's the same old crap in a brand new style. It's audio rape. Still I try to pick and choose. I turn the dial, but always lose. Once in a while, if you're lucky, maybe one little rhythm and blues, and that's why God made tape. Used to be we wore beads and bells, made our own clothes in our own way. Now we all wear uniforms at Hard Rock Cafe. We're in a state of sartorial decay, and that's why I hate Walmart. Spot to pave it over, put a clover leaf over a four-leaf clover, black paint on a white cliffs of Dover, it never fails. Hope you like this song, thanks a bunch, could go on, but I got a great lunch. If you didn't like it, I've got a hunch. You work in sales, don't throw your own, make your own, be careful what you own, develop non-shopping to an art. And whatever you do, don't shop at Walmart.
And that, of course, was I Hate Walmart from the CD of the same name by Dave Lippmann. This is I Hate Corporate Radio, Free Radio Santa Cruz, Bathroom Spears Broadsides on Sunday. If you're not in church, you should definitely be listening to Bathroom Spears Broadsides. And I think we may have actually done it. We may have had an emergency tech here set up the VCR. We're going to see if it's actually working in the proper fashion. We're knocking on wood and hoping all is well. And what we're going to try to be playing for you now is the some cuts from the January 14th Santa Cruz City Council meeting. This is the council meeting that gave us the final version of the downtown ordinances, the laws that make it illegal to have a political table or an open guitar case or even a cup with a spare change on it. Actually, that's even worse. Yeah, you can't be within 14 feet of a building, crosswalk, drinking fountain, etc., etc. Actually, I don't know if it's a drinking fountain, but it's a number of obstacles that rule out 95% of the sidewalk. But for political protesters and political petitioners, we've heard John Gibson recently talking about his Bill of Rights Committee, and of course, I've talked about the Huff and the Boycott Pacific Trading Company. It's even worse in terms of the constitutional violations, as at least it's more overt. It's not worse for people who are trying to get some spare change to be able to find their way to the next meal, or find their way to, coming out of the cold, or find some place, to buy some, some tampons, and so they can have a half-human feeling. But in any case, the laws that criminalize, for example, a display device, which is a political table or a musician's guitar case, within 10 feet of a building passed, as well as the move-along law that requires people to move along every hour. We heard about that on January 14th. And numerous musicians, performers, civil rights advocates, just ordinary members of the community raised issues at the oral communication, which there's a lot of it, which we don't have time to play. Peace activist Joe Williams actually did a very lengthy compilation of kind of summarizing many of the arguments were brought up, and hopefully at some point in the next couple weeks he will be able to discuss these himself when he is able to get into the show. And Indeed is going to be going out on a Santa Cruz Club Cruise show, a TV show that Becky Johnson does, where he and John Gibson, the man you heard earlier, are going to be debating and discussing and raising the issues of the downtown ordinances and how they link into the Patriot Act, which I've talked to a little bit as well, the kind of national mood of repression having its local reflection here in Santa Cruz. But let's hear now from the actual Santa Cruz City Council. First, you're going to hear Kim Dowling, who is a musician. I believe she's a marimba player, among other things. She was stopped from playing, I believe it was her, by Sergeant Butchie Baker about a year and a half ago. And there, I guess marimba players have been allowed to play downtown in violation of the downtown ordinances. You see, the police try to allow the popular groups to play, but then to go after everybody else. Or to only go, and as you heard with the Bill of Rights Committee, they weren't hassled, but they go after HUF, the group I work with, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, and make us move our table every hour, or otherwise ticket us for constitutional activity, like showing a video on the sidewalk. But Kim has been an active participant in trying to keep the voluntary street performers guidelines, which is what the street performers generally agreed to and have been successfully using downtown, which doesn't involve any laws, just consensual agreements between people that if you're there for an hour and then somebody complains, you know, they give you an hour after the point of their complaint and then you leave. It's not enforceable by law, and there are other laws you can use to enforce problems downtown and the police do use, but that particular agreement has been successful. It was destroyed by the City Council actually last summer, but the nails were rammed into the coffin on the 14th. We're going to hear Kim now talking about street performing, and then a couple other people will be talking, and then you're going to hear the City Council engage in its Byzantine discussion. And I know it's depressing to listen to the City Council, but I think it's also kind of enlightening and amusing, considering their failure to do anything that really followed up on these issues that they claimed they were going to address. Let's see if we can hear them.
Next speaker. It looks like we have three people who are going to speak. Mr. Kindich, I'm sorry, will be the last speaker. Okay? You can speak as well.
Okay, I feel very unprepared here, but first...
Kim Dowling.
First, I wanted to just add a little something for the Musicians Guild that Angela didn't get to complete, and it has to do with that one-hour voluntary guideline versus law thing. I'm going to read this. The selectivity is only legal as a neighborly agreement. It is not legal to selectively enforce a one-hour move-along ordinance. For instance, if a shop owner really liked the harp playing outside and wanted it to go on for 3 hours, they couldn't legally allow it to go on for 3 hours. The police could still come and shut down the harp player, and should, basically. Which brings me to, I want to ask you a question. I'm wondering if you can answer it easily. I hope you can. If I'm down there and the police decide to enforce this law on me, what's the ticket? What's the second time? What's the ticket the second time? What happens if I go to court and they find me guilty the second time within 6 months or whatever? I know there's all kinds of, I want to know this, I want you to tell me so that to help everybody put themselves in our shoes, because you're telling us to trust that these aren't going to be enforced, that these laws aren't going to be enforced against us. And yet you're asking us to go risk, we didn't go down there and play and risk that. So what are the...
So what are the consequences? What you want us to be sure to tell you. Okay, thank you.
Can you tell me now?
No.
No?
And Mayor Riley, for some reason, never did get around to telling Kim and the community what the consequences were.
If I might just read one piece of the ordinance, I'm not going to comment.
Yes,
on
that's
it. Comment
yes.
On this.
If you've got it in front of you, I appreciate that. Thank you, Mike.
This is in both versions. In both versions of the ordinance, it says, under Section 3, no person shall be cited under this section unless he or she has first been notified by a public officer or downtown host that he or she is in violation of the prohibition in this section and thereafter continues the violation. So you're at no risk if they tell you you're violating the law, move on, your hour's up, or your whatever the distance is or something.
Right,
you decide, and they tell you to move on, and you move on. You cannot get a ticket. It would be an illegal ticket if they gave it to you. That's the answer to your question.
Okay, I'm in a marimba band. It takes us about half an hour to set up, about an hour.
And actually, that's not the answer to your question. Her question was, if you get a ticket, how much is it? If you get a second ticket, how much is that? And that, Councilmember Rutkin did not answer, nor did anyone on the council. The answer is, it's $162 for the first citation, more or less, although it varies. And for the second, it can be up to $1,000 in a year in jail. It's a misdemeanor, automatic misdemeanor. That's the answer that they didn't get.
Set up and another hour to load up and go. If I would... I would be very tempted if a police came up to me and said, "You have an hour, or you to keep playing." I mean, I'm being told that this isn't going to affect us.
Your time is up. I have a question, actually. Since you're here, thank you, Leslie. The permitting. If you had a permit, you could play. And I've been told that it's that's difficult for your group because then you'd have to get it a day ahead of time and, you know, then...
Yeah, we often get together, our practice is on Saturday, we get together and say, it's a beautiful day, let's go play on the mall.
Exactly. Therefore, if there, let's say there were a permit that was easier to get that lasted for a month or 2 weeks or whatever, would that be acceptable? Just asking you personally, yes or no.
It wouldn't be acceptable for us to keep having to go back for these permits.
Okay.
I don't feel like. I mean, the rest of my band may not agree with that. I would think maybe if we could get a permit for a year or for 6 months or something. But that's our band. I could see a big band in our situation gets an exception, gets 2 hours or whatever if you're going to pass this law. But I really am against all of this. Just as
and,
most people
and being
have
able to
been.
Being able to have a, to accept money is also part of why it's something that's
wrong. I wanted to point out that we often donate our money to causes that we make on the mall. We consider it kind of extra money, so we either donate it to causes or we often go have dinner, all eight of us, on the mall and put that money back into
Thank
the merchants.
Thank you very much. I think, Mr. Primack, did you have a question?
Well, I just want to be clear. Your concern is not whether, say it was an hour and you're asked to stop. The question is not if it takes you a half hour to break up and, you know, and put your stuff away, is that a violation?
No, it's just not worth our effort.
Not worth your while.
To go down there to play for an hour and take the chances. Also, 10 feet from this, 10 feet from that, we take up a lot of space. There's just,
I think we get it. Thank you very much.
No, I have a question.
Okay.
So therefore, you wouldn't accept a voluntary move along?
The voluntary thing, that is voluntary, that is being reasonable, that is, if it's really bugging a store owner, I did want to say that about voluntary guidelines. It's all about, it's about voluntary, it's about guidelines, it's not about laws, and it's about reasonableness, it's about making sense. And having good judgment, you know.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
And, of course, Emily proceeds to allow the council huge amounts of time to discuss this, or actually they aren't discussing it. They're just wending their way to a prearranged conclusion. The real issue here had to do with whether there were any problems with street performing. And, of course, the police department and the other, and the merchants and the downtown association, didn't allege there were significant problems with street performing, and yet they proposed this whole series of draconian restrictions. Why? Because they want to criminalize panhandlers, spare changers, and sitters. They don't want to deal with offensive behavior like theft or violence or, gang activity, I don't know what that would be, or shoplifting, in terms of actually addressing those issues head-on and specifically. Instead, they are going after the criminalization of poor people downtown, essentially scapegoating and blaming them. But to do that, they also have to go after street performers. They I think they properly believe, because constitutionally you cannot make a content-based exception and say, well, a panhandler can't ask for spare change, but a street performer can ask for a donation. Can't do that. So they had, in essence, to sweep up all the street performers, and they have to create all these rationalizations to do it with. That is to say, they're asking all these questions as though there were a street performer problem, when there is no such problem. Because what they don't want to admit is that they're using a sledgehammer to go after poor people downtown to give police greater tools to enforce sort of a merchant sensibility on the avenue. Instead of addressing the real problems that came up and which were used by the Sentinel to blazon headlines in the summer, they expanded the already bad downtown ordinances which criminalize innocent behavior, like sitting or peacefully spare changing, making it a crime, for example, to silently hold up a sign from a seated position, sitting on the sidewalk. That's illegal behavior on the mall now, though you often see it. Police are now kind of playing around with ignoring some laws, using others, and it gives the police great discretion. If you want to trust your police department and you believe in a police state and giving the police the power to do that, then, well, you're in the right city. We're listening to the Santa Cruz City Council meeting of June 14th.
Say, Sheila, you've spoken for more time than anyone, and I think even with another hat on, I'm really afraid it just wouldn't be fair.
Things that I promised the other downtown commissioners I would say.
Well, you had 8 minutes to say it.
I think that it was my sense that Kathy Bisbee left some information with us that I had asked Mr. Porter to read if he would like, and he said that it was pretty much already covered. We'll be happy to accept it if you want to pass it out.
This is not fair to have one person get 10 minutes when everybody else is stuck.
I really do appreciate none.
This is Emily Riley and Mike Rodkin cutting off the main speaker for the street performers, who is on their own downtown commission, the city council's downtown commission, Sheila Coonerty, who is also the sister of Neil Coonerty, Bookshop Santa Cruz owner. In this case, Sheila Coonerty is supporting the Downtown Commission's recommendation that the council not proceed with the draconian ordinances that some of the merchants want and that the staff wants from the city manager's office and that perhaps the redevelopment agency wants, people like Julie Hendy. What you see her is she's getting muzzled here by Riley because she spoke as a representative of the commission. They're not allowing her to speak in her individual capacity. It's ironic that Mike Rodkin would interrupt and say with exasperation, it's just not fair, when he, of course, will be spending vast amounts of time as a council member, far more than any member of the public has option to use. Rodkin has been invited to appear on the show to discuss and debate this matter with Joe Williams, but he has declined to do so far.
You know, we've been months and months on this. So, you know,
if there's something you think that has not been said, please give it to us. I promise you we'll read it. I promise you, Sheila.
You might be able to read it, but it's just little pieces of facts that people ask me to say. So,
okay. Okay. Well, if someone else... Okay, Mr. Kindig, thank you. Next speaker, thanks.
Greg Kindig coming up. He's head of the Coalition.
I kind of wanted to hear Sheila. Okay. My name is...
You could say it.
Pardon?
Go ahead.
Oh, I could.
It said you could say it if that's what you want
to
say.
I'm not sure if I'd be able to read it.
Okay. Anyway, we'd like to hear what you have to say.
Thanks.
So please tell us.
I'm Greg Kindig, and I apologize if what I say is a little out of context because I didn't get here till 9:15. I was at the Ecology Action Center Master Composter class, and I just want to address some points from the December 10th council meeting. I think a couple things were said that I disagree with a little bit, and I realize that you folks sitting up there have to think on your feet, whereas, you know, I get to sit back here and form my thoughts and write them down and come up here and talk. But first, I think that the move-along clause at the December 10th meeting, whether the move-along clause ends up as part of the ordinance regardless of how it's implemented, I think it was incorrectly portrayed as a compromise to be given to the performers and the downtown commission majority, when in fact it was something that they were offering in good faith in exchange for voluntary guidelines. And secondly, I think somebody speaking at the December 10th meeting suggested that there's an impact of this ordinance on people who aren't guilty of anything. And I think the effect of the ordinance on innocent bystanders or non-guilty people was dismissed as negligible or as being analogous to the effect of laws against murderers on non-murderers. And I don't agree. I don't feel impinged upon at all by laws against murder. You know, I have no intention of ever committing murder. Murder laws don't affect me at all. At least they don't restrict what I want to do at all. And I don't know anyone that I think is unfairly burdened by...
Your time is up.
Okay. I do feel a personal loss of community and Santa Cruz character with this ordinance. And I do know people that I think are unfairly burdened by it. Thanks.
Note also, Emily Riley is giving people only 2 minutes to speak. Admittedly, it is a long line, but this is an important issue and one that has, of course, been extremely contentious. She's also presiding over a council that is about to violate, eliminate, and ignore the recommendations, the majority recommendations of the Downtown Commission in favor of the pre-established agenda of the city manager in private consultations with Ed Porter, Emily Riley, and the minority of the Downtown Commission, essentially merchants, conservative merchants who want to severely restrict street performers and increase police power.
Thank you all for your comments. This concludes the public portion of our comments this evening. I would like to ask Mr. Fitzmaurice, since he was speaking to Ms. Coonerty, did you receive some information?
Well, she would have to help me. I think it's...
Sure, you answer that question eventually.
Go ahead.
Can we take a 5-minute break before we...
I just want to see whether or not Tim wanted to say anything.
A lot of the things
were
relevant, but the most important thing was that these were comments from
other commissioners. Exactly.
To support the exemption zones, to beware of the de facto exemption zones. In other words, that something in front of O'Neill's was going to get a lot of traffic because it was more than 10 feet from the building. To allow the commission, the Downtown Commission, to continue to collect information or process information, is that?
But basically, at least four of us plan to be involved. You
stay involved.
Okay.
Right, those kinds of things, and that they assume that things will, I could get this wrong, things will work out if we're able to continue that process.
Not quite.
I'm sorry? Not quite. Why don't you take a 5-minute break and I'll get it.
Okay, I would like to, we're going to take a recess now, and there are, I have some comments and questions that Kathy Bisbee, who's the chair of the Downtown Commission, has left with me. I want to take a look at them and make sure that all the points that she mentioned have been covered by someone else tonight before we begin our deliberations, and perhaps Mr. Fitzmaurice will get any other points from the Downtown Commission that we've missed. It's certainly not our intention to overlook any of the recommendations from the Downtown Commission. So now I'd like to take it...
No, simply to ignore and overrule the Downtown Commission's recommendations. That's exactly what they did in the debate that follows. You also note that Fitzmaurice is awkwardly trying to paraphrase Sheila Coonerty's discussion because Riley won't let her speak. Riley and Rodkin don't want her to speak because she has spoken in a previous capacity as a chair or a representative of the Downtown Commission.
Recess. We'll be back at 10 to 10. Thank you very much.
And this is the Santa Cruz City Council meeting of July 14th. Many good points were made by the speakers prior to what you heard. People were given 2 minutes each. Riley gave all kinds of fluff commentary, like before this portion we just heard. We succeed when our community engages in this dialogue. We fail when we do things that lead to less dialogue. And, of course, that's exactly what they've done. They've had no dialogue for the last 6 months at all, though they promised. They came up with a series of recommendations and resolutions. Well, they came up with a series of laws is what they came up with. And they promised to establish meaningful exemption zones. What they did was instead they took the discarded exemption zones that the Downtown Commission found had failed. And now we're going to resume the, going to listen to more of the Santa Cruz City Council discussion here, I believe. I think they're back. At least they're supposed to be. Should be back shortly. Looks like a little more elevator music there. So Sheila Coonerty, when she spoke before, when she was allowed to speak, she said that the city council's, the councilmember Fitzmaurice claimed you can't have love, you need respect, you can't have respect, you need manners, to have manners, you need law. And Coonerty said they moved too quickly to law, the council did, Sheila said. Many of the downtown commissioners, including Coonerty, there could be solutions other than heavy-handed laws. You want to try the least intrusive solution first. Not sure it's time for a legal solution. Permits for special occasions and larger groups and longer hours were suggested, though a lot of us feel permits are a real mistake. The message to street performers is going straight to law, no time for consideration of their concerns, and the Downtown Commission wanted to give street performers and merchants and police a chance to work it out. But of course, since the council had already passed its laws, there was no need for merchants or police to show up, and they didn't show up to any of these meetings. They just allowed the council to ram through these laws. What you're going to hear shortly is the debate, or so-called...